Kuritapyanu sutyadananjayo ritam Nasham yadunam bhagavad gatim satam Ekanta bhakya bhagavati adhoksaje Niveshitatmo pararama samsrite Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, engaged in the devotional service of the transcendental personality of Godhead with full attention, and thus gained release from the course of material existence. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The setting of the sun does not mean the end of the sun. It means that the sun is out of our sight. Similarly, the end of the mission of the Lord on a particular planet or universe only means that he is out of our sight. The end of the Yadu dynasty also does not mean that it is annihilated. It disappears along with the Lord out of our sight. As Maharaj Yudhisthira decided to prepare to go back to Godhead, so also Kunti decided, and thus she fully engaged herself in the transcendental devotional service of the Lord, which guarantees one a passport for going back home, back to Godhead. After quitting this present material body, the beginning of devotional service to the Lord is the beginning of spiritualizing the present body. And thus, an unalloyed devotee of the Lord loses all material contact in the present body. The abode of the Lord is not a myth, as is thought by the unbelievers or ignorant people, but one can reach there by any material, but one cannot reach there by any material means, like a Sputnik or space capsule. But one can certainly reach there after leaving this present body, and one must prepare himself to go back to Godhead by practicing devotional service. That guarantees a passport for going back to Godhead, and Kunti adopted it. Of the Pandavas. Upon hearing Arjuna's explanation of Krishna's disappearance from the mortal vision of this world, and seeing her own eldest son preparing to renounce everything in response in order to fix his consciousness upon Krishna. The Lord sometimes manifests himself and sometimes is physically unmanifest, prakrita and aprakrita. But in either case, we should know that the Lord is always present. Just as the sun is sometimes present to our vision, after the sun sets, it is aprakrita, it is no longer present to our vision. But we know that still the sun is existing And here in this particular verse, Ekanta Bhaktya Bhagavati Adhokshajay. Krishna is addressed as Adhokshaja. Adha means subdued. Aksha means the senses. Ja means generated. Adhokshaja means one who is beyond the senses or beyond the knowledge that can be generated or acquired through the senses. Adhokshaja explains the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being completely transcendental to this mortal realm of consciousness and sense perception. So Krishna is always existing in this state, and the devotees of the Lord are not concerned with seeing Krishna through our mortal senses or understanding Krishna through our finite mind. Krishna says in Gita that it is only by unalloyed devotion, sarvapadiva nirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktarucchate. When our senses become completely freed from all the dirt of material contamination, when our senses become spiritualized through the process of bhakti, then Krishna can reveal himself, and he does reveal himself on a spiritual platform when we have spiritual vision. Om Agyan Timidandasya Jananjana Chalakaya Chakshurundalikam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Venama. We are all in darkness in this world. Material life means darkness. Our eyes are blinded to spiritual reality. And therefore, by hearing the words of Guru and by practicing those words, in other words, by hearing topics of devotion to the Lord and engaging in such devotional activities, Krishna reveals himself. Krishna, who is the light of all lights. So in this way, Queen Kunti, in the mood of separation of Krishna, is completely fixing her consciousness in Krishna. And this is what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. This is the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. To learn how to meditate on Krishna in separation, not to depend on witnessing or understanding or seeing Krishna with our material senses, but cultivating devotion, cultivating a mood of service to Krishna in separation. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, on the inspiration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they exemplified in the highest state this type of love in separation. Srila Prabhupada told us that in Vrindavan, when he started his temple, he wanted to have a class of men who were genuinely following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, which is very much different than many of the residents of Vrindavan who follow the path of Prakrita Sahajya. Sahajya means to take things in a very cheap way. So many times we hear of people telling how they have seen Krishna. Even when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, people were saying, I have seen Krishna. We have seen him here at the Kaliya Lake. People are very anxious to talk about their own experiences of Krishna. But Krishna only reveals himself to those whose senses are completely transcendental and pure. How can we see Krishna with these eyes? How can we hear Krishna with these ears? How can we taste Krishna with this tongue? We can only to the extent we can experience Krishna that we are purified. So these six Goswamis, they were always ekanta bhaktyas. They were completely absorbed in one pointed concentration on Krishna in the mood of separation. Where is Krishna? Hey Radhe Brajadevake Chalalite He Nanda Suno Katha. Is he at Radha Kund? Is he at Govardhan? Is he under the Bamsivat tree? They were always in the mood of meditating on Krishna, remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna's name, serving Krishna, in a mood of anticipation to find Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us that in this age of Kali Yuga especially, this is the safest, most practical and perfect method of worshipping Krishna, in a mood of separation. And Srila Prabhupada explains, this is what Gaudiya Vaishnava means, to worship Krishna in a mood of separation, not to be boasting of our experiences with Krishna, but to be praying for such experiences with Krishna. And we find in this most wonderful sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam how Queen Kunti, after Krishna leaves the planet, her and her sons become more immersed, more concentrated in their devotion to Krishna than ever before. They are willing to renounce everything to express their devotion to Lord Sri Krishna. Similarly, the six Goswamis, they were big, big ministers in the government. They had such lofty association, Mandalapati. That means they were in the association, in the company of the most prestigious, powerful, famous people in society. They had great wealth, but they gave up everything to search for Krishna in separation in Vrindavan. They gave up everything in order to do good to others. Srila Prabhupada explains that yakvatura namashesha mandalapati trenim sadhatu chavat, that when the six Goswamis left everything, they didn't leave everything just to become naked. What is the use of becoming naked? They gave up their big, big houses. They gave up their fine clothes. They wanted to do something. Do something very positive in the service of the Lord. Do something very, very positive for the benefit of other living beings. This was their greatness, their contribution. Sometimes we see people become sadhus. Sometimes they give up so much wealth, opulence, prestige to wear ragged clothes or to wear no clothes. That in of itself is meaningless. We do not become God, we do not become great souls simply by taking off our dress. We become great souls by what we do in that mood of renunciation, what we do for the benefit of others in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this was the mood of the six Goswamis in Vrindavan. They were constantly setting by their example the highest principles of devotion to the Lord. They were writing so many transcendental literatures. they were preaching to so many people, helping them in their spiritual lives in so many ways. So they renounced for the positive purpose of Ekanta Bhaktya. One-pointed, single-minded, unobstructed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this verse we find how this is not limited to any particular class of people. Kunti Devi was by occupation a mother. She was such a devoted mother. How she cared for her five children, how she helped them to become physically, spiritually, very, very successful in life. And she is, as the eternal soul within every living being, we all have equal opportunity to perfect our lives in Krishna consciousness by fixing our mind in Krishna. So here Kunti Devi is renouncing everything of this world, leaving all the pleasures of her palace behind. It is an amazing thing, because Arjuna and Kunti Devi and the other Pandavas, they lost the kingdom, they fought the war. It appeared they fought the Lord to regain the kingdom, but actually the proof that they only fought the war for the service of Krishna is that without Krishna, they did not want their kingdom. They left it behind with no reservation. They headed toward the north, toward the Himalayas, taking absolutely nothing with them except their complete faith in Krishna, their total mood of aspiration to worship Krishna, remember Krishna in the mood of separation. Is there any questions?
Yaharad bhuvo bharam tham tanum vijahavaja khantakam khatakeneva vayam chapi shithu samam.
The Supreme Unborn, Lord Sri Krishna, caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, and thus he relieved the burden of the world. This action was like picking out a thorn with a thorn. They both are the same to the controller. Forth by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur suggests that the rishis like Shonaka and others who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Sutta Goswami at Naima Sharanya were not happy to hear about the Yadus dying in the madness of intoxication. To give them relief from this mental agony, Sutta Goswami assured them that the Lord caused the members of the Yadu dynasty to relinquish their bodies, by which they had to take away the burden of the world. The Lord and His eternal associates appeared on earth to help the administrative demigods in eradicating the burden of the world. He therefore called for some of the confidential demigods to appear in the Yadu dynasty and serve him in his great mission. After the mission was fulfilled, the demigods, by the will of the Lord, relinquished their corporal bodies by fighting amongst themselves in the madness of intoxication. The demigods are accustomed to drinking the somaras beverage, and therefore the drinking of wine and intoxication are not unknown to them. Sometimes they were put into trouble for indulging in intoxication. Once the sons of Kuvera fell in the wrath of Narada for being intoxicated, but afterwards they regained their original forms by the grace of the Lord Sri Krishna. We shall find this story in the 10th canto, for the Supreme Lord, both the asuras and the demigods, are equal. But the demigods are obedient to the Lord, whereas the asuras are not. Therefore, the example of picking out a thorn by another thorn is quite befitting. One thorn which causes pinpricks on the leg of the Lord is certainly disturbing to the Lord, and the other thorn which takes out the disturbing elements certainly gives service to the Lord. So although every living being is a part and parcel of the Lord, still one who is a pinprick to the Lord is called an asura, and one who is a voluntary servitor of the Lord is called a devata or demigod. In the material world, the devatas and asuras are always contending, and the devatas are always saved from the hands of the asuras by the Lord. Both of them are under the control of the Lord. The whole world is full of two kinds of living beings, and the Lord's mission is always to protect the devatas and destroy the asuras whenever there is such a need in the world, and to do good to both of them. Lord Sri Krishna explains how when one takes the path of Krishna consciousness and makes spiritual advancement, but is not able to complete the process of purification and leaves this world in the form of death, there is no loss. Neha vikramanaso si pratyavayo nivajyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya tayate mahatobhaya. That whatever advancement or spiritual progress we make is never lost. So Krishna explains that such noble souls, they take their birth sometimes in the heavenly abodes, or sometimes in the families of Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. So someone may ask, why would Krishna send someone who is sincerely attempting to surrender to him to the heavenly planets, if the heavenly planets, we understand, are so much a distraction from our spiritual lives, because there is such a tremendous quantity of sense gratification. But for those advanced devotees who have become very dear to him in the attempt to surrender, from the heavenly planets we find here that Krishna calls upon those particular devotees to descend from those planets to assist him in his divine lila. So sometimes within the Yadu dynasty, sometimes as cowherd boys, gopas, or various denizens of Vrindavan Dham. It is explained by Shukadeva Goswami that many of the associates of the Lord were demigods who descended, but they were not ordinary demigods. They were demigods who in their previous births had engaged in great, great endeavor in devotional service, but they had not yet completed the path. So by associating with the Supreme Lord in his lila and engaging in loving pastimes with him, they become completely perfect. And thus they're able to return to the spiritual world when Krishna concludes his earthly pastimes. So here we find that many of the demigods descended in the Yadu dynasty, and Krishna, after fulfilling his purpose for coming to this world, was making all arrangements for his disappearance. Now oftentimes the great acharyas, they explain to us the internal and external significance of Krishna's divine pastimes. Internally, Krishna is simply doing what he is doing for the pleasure of his devotees. Externally, sometimes Krishna wants to teach the world a lesson through his devotees. In this case, the Yadu dynasty, Krishna knew that after he left, the separation of these intimate associates of him would be too much. So he wanted to bring them back to the spiritual world. He did not want to leave them in this mortal earth to have to somehow or other try to survive the unbearable separation they would due to their love for him. But on a more external level, Krishna wanted to teach that if one becomes proud and one offends Vaishnavas, whoever they may be, they will be vanquished. And who better to teach the lesson through than the greatest, most powerful, and close associates of himself? Because the Yadus had already conquered all directions. They were undefeatable. They were the very family members of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. And therefore, on one level, Krishna wanted to show that they had become proud. Proud due to their birth in the association of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains, similarly, there is Nityananda Bams, Advaita Charya's Bams, which means that these are the seminal descendants of these great avatars of the Lord. And even today, oftentimes these people are very proud and very corrupt. In fact, they claim that unless you are born in the family line of these great souls, you cannot be a guru. You cannot really have the special privileges of an acharya or a goswami. It is not a matter of the quality of your surrender or devotion, but it is more a matter of the family in which you were born. Even in the Ballabha Sampradaya, this is the system. Acharya is by birth. Nityanandabham. And oftentimes, these people become very proud and very corrupt, and they exploit the innocent people. Of course, we understand that a real devotee of the Lord, whatever his position is, he always considers himself to be the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Nityananda Prabhu himself never broadcasted the greatness of his birth. Rather, he would fall on his hands and knees and beg people, please take the name of Gauranga. Chant Hare Krishna. So Krishna wanted to show that he didn't want the world to be plagued with proud members of his own family or dynasty who considered themselves superior to anyone else. So in their pride, they were thinking of how to enjoy at the expense of devotees. We know that Vaishnava Parad, whoever we are, however advanced, it is like a mad elephant coming into our garden. If you are a very advanced devotee, that means your garden is very, very much flourishing with beautiful flowers of spiritual devotion. And if you're not a very advanced devotee, there might be just some little creepers beginning to grow in your garden of devotion. But whether your garden is beautiful and flourishing, or whether it's just beginning, if you allow a mad elephant to come in, it will just put everything into shambles. So similarly, when we become proud, and due to that pride, we offend Vaishnavas, it puts everything in a chaotic condition spiritually. So we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the Yadus, in their pride, so much intoxicated, they dressed up Sambha, one of their own, Krishna's own son, as a lady with a sari, and they called upon Parvat Muni, Narad Muni, and other great devotees of the Lord, and they wanted to show how superior they were to them by humiliating them, by minimizing their greatness. So they put some substance within Sambha's, under his sari, so it looked like he was pregnant with baby. And they asked, O great seers of the truth, will this young lady give birth to a boy or a girl? And of course, the idea was, whether they said boy or girl, then they would take out this padding and say, ha 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 ha, what do you know, these Vaishnavas? And in this way, make the world think that they don't know so much. So when they asked the great devotees, they replied, he will give birth to a lump of iron which will be caught the cause of the destruction of your entire dynasty. And right at that very moment, a lump of iron came out of his stomach. And they realized that they had made a big mistake. But it is true. It is said, pride cometh before the fall. If you're humble, you will never commit offense, because you will always think yourself inferior to everyone. But when you are proud, then you will definitely commit offenses. Why? Because when you're proud, then there's some sense of competition, some sense that I have to show myself superior to another in some way or other. And when we deal with Vaishnavas in this way, this is very, very, very tragic to our spiritual life. So Krishna wanted to show that whoever you are, even if you are his own personal associate born in his own family, even his own children and grandchildren, if you are proud and you offend Vaishnavas, you will be vanquished. When Krishna wants to give a lesson, he gives it in such an emphatic way. And it was in Prabhas Kshetra that this took place. The devotees, the yadus, they took that lump of iron and they brought it to Maharaj Ugrasena and said, this is what happened. So they filed it as far as possible into powder and they threw it in the ocean. One little piece they couldn't file down. Anyways, that one little piece, the hunter Jara found it and made it into an arrow. And all the filings, they grew into bamboo shoots. Very hard, like steel. And then somehow or other, the yadus, who were in their, many of them in their previous life, they were demigods, they began to drink an intoxicating beverage made out of rice. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is also a very emphatic lesson. Do not take intoxication. That if you, even if you are Krishna's own children, if you take intoxication, see what havoc it will create in your life. So they became intoxicated, and then they began to argue in so many ways, and they started to criticize each other, and then they picked up the bamboo shoots out of the ground, the steel bamboo shoots, and began to beat each other, and in this way they all killed each other. There was no one left. Even those great souls who survived the entire battle of Kurukshetra. Because Krishna knew that the yadus should be sent back to their original position. They should not remain on earth. And there's nobody with the power to kill them. And to let them live would be very difficult. So, what better way than have them all send themselves back to Godhead? So it is explained here that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving in his commentary why the sages of Naimasaranya, they felt very bad. So how is it that the yadus, such great devotees of the Lord, they killed each other? So Suta Goswami wanted to give them an enlightening encouragement by explaining that this was all the will of the Lord. This was all by his own personal desire. This was not taking place due to some anger of ordinary souls. But it was Krishna's pastime of bringing all his devotees back with him to the spiritual world. Acharyopashanam. If we read the scriptures without hearing the commentaries and explanations of the great acharyas, we will simply be bewildered, or we will come to our own conclusions. But if we actually want to understand the inner significance of the Lord's reasons for displaying his wonderful pastimes, Krishna's will is always manifested to the heart of those devotees who have surrendered their lives to his loving service. Therefore, the principle of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is the pure and transcendental system by which we can understand. In truth, the perfection of life. Janma karma chame divyam evam yogeti tatpata. Srila Prabhupada said this is the most important sloka of Bhagavad Gita. That one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities never takes birth again in this material world, but attains to his abode. And it is through the mercy and kindness of his devotees only that the Lord's wonderful appearance, activities, and instructions are revealed in truth in our lives. So we are ending class every day after just 15 minutes because it is Srila Prabhupada's book marathon. So let us with great enthusiasm, determination, compassion, go out and distribute Srila Prabhupada's wonderful message. The most important scriptures of the world with his most eloquent and merciful purport. Anyone who touches these books becomes purified. Anyone who reads them with an open and submissive heart will be given entrance into the inner essence of the purpose of life, into the treasure of the very essence of all the scriptures. Surrender to Krishna by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.